Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
In the early hours of February 14, 2000, while most people were asleep, a 9-year-old girl walked out of her home in the middle of a storm and into the dark. Hours later, she was gone. Witnesses would come forward, clues would be found, and years later, new evidence would point in a direction no one saw coming. But even now, no one knows exactly what happened to Asia Degree. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky. Where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride. Where?
Okay.
Are we headed today?
Pulling out. All right. Are we?
Where are we heading?
Are we going to Africa?
No, we're going to be in... You didn't even ask me any question. Like, are we in the States?
We're in the U.S. of A. I was doing the classic spin and point.
All
right, U.S. of A.
U.S. of A.
North, south, east, west.
East.
All right. North or south of on the east
coast? In the middle.
In the middle.
All right, on the map, in the globe, in the sphere.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to one of our home states.
All right.
One of our faves.
Florida.
No.
Oh. North Carolina.
Jess.
Ooh. All right. Are we going to be coastal?
Jess.
Or towards the center?
We're going to be a little bit more towards the center, a little bit out west. I'll tell you exactly we're going to.
Asheville.
No, we're going to Shelby, North Carolina. But it's on the way to Asheville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on the way to Asheville. It's kind of like an hour west of Charlotte. So, yeah,
okay.
Headed that direction.
Thank you, trusty globe.
I know. Thank you, trusty globe.
Guys, we still got to come up with a name.
I know. Everybody's been giving some really good suggestions, and we're just, honestly, I'm just kind of procrastinating picking one. Because they're all so good. Somebody said Big Bertha, you know, like Eartha, Bertha. I was like, that's so clever.
I like it.
Somebody said Trotter. I'm like, yo.
Trotter.
Yeah, because you know, she had a little trotter.
That's clever.
She tried. I thought that was so good. There's so many great ones.
Didn't somebody comment Brian? Literally just Brian.
Really? No, I don't know if they did. Did they?
I saw somebody comment just an actual name.
Everyone's trying to be clever with like punny, and yeah. Someone's like, Brian. Have you thought about Brian?
Charles.
No, like he's actually a team member, guys. So maybe we should give him a real name.
I'm Ali. Hi, I'm Tom. Hi, I'm Charles.
And it's like the gloom.
All right,
let's
get to it.
We're
going to be in the Carolinas.
We're going to Shelby, North Carolina. It's an hour west of Charlotte. It's a very quiet and rural area. And in 2000, Asia Degree was 9 years old. She was in fourth grade. She lived with her family in Shelby. And by all accounts, Asia is a happy, funny kid. She's lighthearted. And oh my God, she is so, 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 so cute.
Okay.
Look at her photo.
Oh,
she is so cute.
I love the braids.
The braids and like
this is,
the bows.
I don't know
and
what time period this is yet, but
yeah,
this
we're
is
in the
giving,
it's 2000.
I was just going to say, this is giving late 90s, early 2000s braids.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. I know, the nostalgia.
Do you remember always having, because you always had the kids in school that had the braids and you would hear them walk because you would hear all the like
plastic beads
clanking?
I used to be so jealous because they would always have like cute like color combinations. And
I used to be jealous. Girl had her name in her hair. It was like the friendship charms. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yo, it's so cool being a girl. Like it is just so cool being a girl. I mean,
well, I don't actually know.
No, but. Yeah, but you know what I mean. You know. Well, anyways, she is so cute. Okay, she, as you can tell in the photos, she wears these like pigtails. She's got this cheesy smile. I love it so much. But she also loves sports. And she was a big rule follower.
I don't like this already, man.
I know.
Because I'm looking at the colors, understanding it's a Sinister episode.
Yeah.
And I don't like it when we're starting like this.
I know. Well, she always followed the rules and she stayed close to home. She was very, very close with her family. She also had another brother who was 11 months older than her. And they were also pretty close.
Okay.
Now, like a typical 9-year-old, she is afraid of things like the dark, big dogs, like any type
Dude,
of dog kind of scary.
Still.
Yeah. Of the dark? Yeah, no, the
Actually
dark sometimes
false.
I'm like, yo, what's going on?
No. Guys, we're two total opposite people. Ale could sleep with TV, lights, everything on.
I could do either. I could do either.
If there's just a little subtle hazy glow.
Oh my God,
glow,
it's so bad.
I get annoyed and I go and adjust the blind or something to try to keep it out.
It's so bad because, you know, I have to unhook my electric toothbrush charger because at nighttime it'll flash and it's like the tiniest little flash. And I'm like, never mind. It's going to wake up this. It's going to wake this guy up. Okay. So she's scared of your usual things, you know, dark.
Typical things to be scared of.
Right. Dogs. She also wasn't really the type to like wander off or anything. Her family kept a pretty structured and organized household from what I was seeing. They were very strict on like no internet, you know, no late nights. They're very much like a church going family. It's like, you know, go to school, you know, you work hard, you just stay to yourself. It was.
I feel like that was a very common 2000s motto, basically.
That's also was. Yeah, yeah. It's like what you want to live up to, right? Yeah, exactly. So it was February 12th in 2000. Okay. There was a basketball game at her elementary school. So Asia played on the basketball team and was a star player. But at some point in the game, she ends up fouling out, so she can't continue playing the game. And she's really, really upset by this because she loves to play. And from what I was reading, she's also very competitive, which I'm like, I get that, girl, because me too. I'm like, why are you getting ready? Okay. Why did I react like that? Her mom and dad were there to console her. They were also saying that a lot of, the other friends at the school too, like, you know, her team members, they were trying to console her, like, hey, don't worry about it, you know, or whatever. Because she was one of, like, the really good ones on the team.
Okay.
And so on the next day, she's fine. Nothing stands out of the unusual whatsoever. Okay. Not like she just lost the game and she was, it's like wasn't even on her mind.
Okay.
So it's Sunday at this point. It's February 13th, right? It's 2000, and a storm moved through the area. Now, we're talking heavy rain, strong winds. At one point, the power even goes out during the day. And inside the home, everything stays normal, right? Everybody's just trying to kind of manage the storm and the power outage and all that. I know that Asia's mom was talking about that usually every night, like, they take a shower, they take a bath. But that night, she was like, I'm going to postpone it to the next day because of the power outage and all that. There's, like, too much going on. So Asia spends the evening with her family, and around 8:30, she goes to bed. Everything is normal. Her father checks on the kids twice. So he checks on the kids at 12:30 a.m. Both children are asleep. Asia and her brother they share the same room because they live in a two-bedroom, like, house.
Okay.
So her father checks on the kids twice. Once at 12:30 a.m., they're both asleep. And then at 2:30 a.m., they're both asleep.
Okay.
Nothing unusual, nothing out of place. Now, unfortunately, that 2:30 a.m. check is going to be the last confirmed time anyone in her family sees her.
Huh. I had a feeling we were going somewhere with that because you just kept saying, well, he checked on her. She was there.
Right.
You're kind of alluding to some.
So, I'm sorry. I know. I saw your face. I know. It breaks my heart every time we talk, especially about a kid. Around 6:30 a.m. the next morning, okay, it's February 5th, 14th. It is Valentine's Day. It's Monday.
Oh, of all days.
Yes. Asia's mom wakes up to get the kids ready for school because it's Monday. And it's a normal morning until she goes to check on them. And then that's when she notices that Asia isn't in her bed. At first, there's a lot of confusion, right? Maybe she's in the bathroom. Maybe she's somewhere in another room in the house. They even called family members because apparently some of the family members lived nearby. I forgot exactly how far, but it was like grandma or like sister or whatever. So they check in with them. They're like, maybe she's over there, right? With everywhere that they're checking, it's coming to the conclusion that no one has seen Asia.
Great.
So her parents call 911 and Aisha is officially reported missing. At this point, nothing suggests a break-in. There was no forced entry. All doors are locked. There's no signs of struggle. Just a missing child that was somehow gone during the night between 2:30 a.m. and 6:30 when her mom came into the room.
And the dad was sure when he saw her.
At 2:30, okay. Yeah, he was sure. So law enforcement, obviously, they respond quickly. Family members, neighbors, there's volunteers beginning to search the area around the home. Like, everyone is looking for Aisha. And at this point, they're working with almost nothing because there's no break-ins. There's no, you know, like, where, what do we look at? Where do we go? There's nothing pointing to anything. It's just she vanished.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at the way the house is set up, too, I feel like that's something you would have heard if there was a break-in or
right,
anything.
Yeah.
Again, it's storming.
Right.
But I also don't feel like, to me, thinking about the scenario and everything,
right,
it doesn't sound like foul play, at least yet.
Right. Okay, good point. That's a good point. Yeah, because it is storming. Also, the type of home they have is just like a ranch-style home?
That's a duplex.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So there's no direction, no clear reason why she would leave. But her family does notice that her book bag and some of her belongings are missing. And from what I was gathering, the items that were missing, it was more aligned with things like a child would most likely pack their book bag with. Like an adult would most likely, if you were kind of leaving with an adult, I guess it would be more like necessities that you would 100% need. What is pretty much missing, okay, from what it looks like, that's why they suggested it was a child that packed it, was like her favorite outfits. A Tweety purse. So, you know, it's like, let me not forget my toys. You know,
it's giving, my parents are mean, I'm leaving, I'm moving out. And then you pack
your
essentials are.
Exactly. But I also saw that Aisha always had a spare key in her book bag. So the assumption as of right now is that she, for some weird reason, decided to leave in the middle of the night, and that's how the doors are locked.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's what they're assuming, right? They start thinking, well, was she maybe upset about the basketball game loss, right? Because to all accounts, like, there's...
she was tracking down that referee.
She was like, really? No, but to all accounts, like, no joke, they were like, what? I mean, really, think about it. Why would a 9-year-old in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, leave? That's weird.
Especially one that's scared of typical child
dark,
things.
Dark, storming.
I don't know about any other guys and girls growing up, but for me at that age, I was scared of the dark, which is funny how I am now.
Yeah.
And I slept with the nightlight.
Right.
I loved having the lights on. If it was storming, I hated storms.
Right.
Because
they make everything
worse.
For
some reason, it made it feel... Now I love storms. Everyone I feel like that I know does. But back in that time, even as a 9-year-old, I feel like storms made me think, oh, great. Is something either going to happen to the house, or is there somebody bad out there that's hiding under the storm?
Yeah, because that's also what you see in the movies, right? All the spooky psychological thrillers.
Thunder and lightning, and then all of a sudden just...
see the shadow silhouette. And you're like, oh my God.
And I didn't even watch the scary movies you were watching at that age.
Well, that's true. Facts, Valid. Yeah. I was never really scared of the dark.
Of course you weren't.
I mean, it would freak me out, of course, but I was... Yeah, but exactly. Like, as a kid, you're kind of... It's just, it's a common fear. And also, it's just strange because there's really no reason to believe that she did end up leaving voluntarily because...
Yeah.
The idea that she would have done it for a justifiable reason. Like, it's like a stretch. So they still don't really know why. And the investigation continues to get... to talk about it on the news, get some more information out. Then some new information starts coming in. There were actually two tips from concerned drivers that reported that sometime around 4 o'clock a.m. along Highway 18, about a mile from Aisha's house, they saw a young girl that matched Aisha's description, walking alone, wearing a white long sleeves, and white pants. So she's also not even wearing, from what I was reading too, her pajamas.
Like,
so
what
she changed.
Went to bed.
Yeah, what she went to bed with. And that her mom had also like mentioned that. So this is like also bizarre, right? Because it's raining. And now we have two tips that they're report that sounds like, hey, they saw Aisha.
Yeah.
They saw her.
Okay, that's right. Weird.
So one of the drivers that reported seeing her on the highway actually turned the car around to try to get closer to be like, hey, are you okay? Everything all right? You know, but by the time that he did, when he was trying to talk to her, she got scared and ran into the woods.
Oh, no.
Yes. And that would be the last known sighting of Aisha.
Damn.
Yes. Now, the investigators bring in police dogs so then they can try and pick up some of Aisha's scents. But the problem is it had been raining all night.
Yep. And dogs can't track through the rain.
Yeah, can't track through that. And so the ground is soaked. Any of the footprints or scented trails are either going to be weak or gone, like not even there.
Damn.
So at this point, from her family to the community, like everyone is gathering together as a community to look for Aisha. They're looking for her on the highway. They're looking for her literally anywhere. They're looking in the neighborhood, everywhere you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So over the next several days, hundreds of people are involved. Then not far from where she was last seen on the highway, they get a call from a business owner reporting that she found some items in her shed behind her business that may have something to do with Aisha.
Okay.
Because also she saw that her face is plastered everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. In that shed, when they end up going to the investigators get there, they find candy wrappers, a pencil and a marker, and a Mickey Mouse hair bow.
Oh.
Now, Aisha's family did confirm that it was her bow.
Okay.
So they also confirmed with the school, because the candy wrappers were interesting, right? So they also were able to get a confirmation that because it was Valentine's Day,
the school
handed out candy.
Candy.
And so those matched the candy that was...
I don't think schools do that anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
oh, man, if they don't, that sucks.
We used to have, like, Christmas parties, Valentine's parties.
And, like, the teacher would always make you a bag of goodies and stuff. Yeah. Oh, man, I hoped... I don't know. We don't got kids now, so I don't know what they're doing.
We would exchange Valentine's.
Same. Yeah, I remember people would do that and, like, put... write each other letters and stuff like that. That was so cute. Yeah. So Asia's family does confirm that it's her beau. Okay. They also confirm that the candy wrappers are from the school. Okay. This shed is about 100 yards or so west of the highway where she was spotted running into the woods. So
okay.
That's still pretty far. Yeah.
But it seems like she probably ran and then saw this and thought, oh, it's a good hiding spot or whatever. We still don't know why she's out and about, though.
We still don't really understand why, but at least we've got some clue. Now, you can look through your slides and go all the way up to where I'm at. Don't go any further until from where I'm at. And so you can also see kind of, there's a photo of like the stretch of road on Highway 18. So it's also very rural. Like it's.
Yeah. Which I mean, like, that is.
No, I know. I'm just saying like for a 9-year-old who's scared of the dark.
Scared of the dark.
Like,
yeah. Especially and it,
out
at
in
that
the storm.
Time.
Yeah. It's so. Yeah. In the middle of the night.
Okay. So this is far, but it's not as crazy as I was thinking. I mean, it's pretty much a straight shot.
It is like the highway,
so,
yeah.
Yes.
But still, you got to think about it. She's
I know.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime. It's scary. But the way I see it,
it's a lot.
I mean, she's stuck to a path.
Yeah. Which we don't know where she's going.
Exactly. But that now leads me to go, okay, if she's staying on this path, why'd she not go that way or this way or this way or
right,
this way?
Where
I mean,
is she
going? Chose a specific direction.
Right. So she must have had a specific idea of where. I mean, it has to be, because why else would she leave in the middle of the night? Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. That's what's so shocking about the case. And the thing too, that from what I read, it was from her house to where she was last spotted would have taken 22 minutes by foot. So they assume like it would have taken her roughly around that to get there. And then 100 yards, then she, some items were found at the shed. So either way, finding these items in the shed, it's lining up with what the drivers also spotted, right? The little girl that looked exactly like Aisha that ran into the woods. And now these items ended up showing up in a shed. But with the weather and all, it was also hard to pick up tracks and scents. So the lead unfortunately ended there.
Okay.
And with still no sign of Aisha, they're not sure where she went next after the shed. The case slows down. So remember, this is 2000. After this point, with what Asia's mom had said that she had taken with her, you know, in her backpack, like her favorite outfits and stuff, investigators believe that she must have planned to run away days before it happened, because why else would she pack her book bag?
Mm-hmm.
And also, when would she have been able to pack her book bag if her family runs a tight schedule? You know what I mean? If they're like, her family don't play about that. And another thing too that I thought, was super interesting, because it is true that at this point, investigators also believe that since she had planned, they believe that she planned to have run away days before it happened. But they do say that she's not your typical runaway. Now, from what I was reading, your typical runaway is a child that is at least 12 years of age, so 12 to 18. But it's more likely for 12 to 13 year olds to run away. And it's usually for a reason like, you know, dysfunctional family environment or sexual physical abuse, or maybe you had bad grades or something, or it could have just been mental health. There's plenty of reasons.
Yeah.
But she wasn't showing any signs of any of that. Like, you know, from all she comes from a good family.
Because there's certain things that I feel like doesn't match why she would leave.
Right. It doesn't. Yeah. That's why she's not your typical runaway.
She's scared of the dark.
Yeah. She's also close with her family.
Mm-hmm.
She has a great life.
And every time as a kid that I quote unquote ran away.
Right.
It was always during the day and it was with my suitcase.
Yeah.
I mean, I would literally pack my little blue suitcase and I'd just start walking up the sidewalk. But I chose during the day. I would never, if it was nighttime, screw that. I was terrified of the dark.
Well, one of the theories too about this case is that maybe she somehow, maybe she somehow met someone or someone tried to lure her, or maybe it was like a friend or something, but like no one knows anything.
That doesn't even add up because think about it. Somebody would have to knock on her window and grab your bag. And her brother's in the bedroom too. So he would have heard something like that.
Yeah.
It's also crazy because she had to have been so sneaky to get out. Because think about how kids are.
Yeah.
Especially if you're sharing a room, you hear everything.
Which her brother actually did say that he heard her, get up to go to the bathroom at one point. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't really looking at her or anything. He just, you know, you wake up, you're like, oh, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
And he saw her get back into her bed and then she put the covers over her head and that's it. He went back to sleep. But he said that was like normal. It's just something they would do.
Yeah.
So he just went back to sleep and that's it.
Yeah, because you're not going to, again. Right. You're sharing the room with your sibling. You're not going to question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why'd you go to the bathroom?
Right. If anything's like normal. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the thing too, that it's like, damn, like her family like wishes they could understand too. Like what ended up causing her? I mean, that is one of the biggest questions of this case.
Yeah.
Like why would a 9-year-old feel the need to leave in the middle of the night? Like it's just,
I'm scared of the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Let me leave during a storm where I'm terrified of the dark.
Right. That's why investigators and even her family would constantly, because a lot of the articles and news interviews that I saw, they would just say, you know, thinking that maybe she left because she lost the game was a stretch. Like it could have been that, but it's a stretch.
And then the other side too been that, is though. The person that did finally see her. And then she ran off. That to me, obviously she's scared, but also they would have seen if somebody was with her.
Right. Oh, that's a good point too. Yeah, there's no reports
they drove
of that
past
whatsoever. Yeah.
And seeing the highway that she was seen on, it's not like a divided highway where, there's time for somebody to say scurry off.
If you're driving by,
you would have seen two people or at least somebody else, another person or figure or something.
Right.
And there was nothing spotted. And by the time they turn around and get back to her, all of a sudden she takes off. You got to have gotten close enough that clearly, that you were able to see.
Right.
That's just my thought process there.
No, but that's a good thought process. Yeah, because I'm sure they were thinking about all these factors. Now, from that, too, I saw that usually girls are more likely to run away than boys. But that's like, I never really knew the statistics of it or like kind of their... their typical runaway, essentially, like they say.
I didn't either.
Yeah. And then there's no major breakthroughs until 17 or 18 months later. Mind you, almost a year and a half. So this whole time, the family is advocating for their daughter, for Asia. They're appearing on the news. They went on like the Montel Williams show, the Oprah Winfrey show, America's Most Wanted. They had billboards, flyers, you name it. They even had a reward out at the time, too, for anything that they could find on Asia. And I even saw, too, that this former car stock driver, I don't know if you, but I thought this was What is it? He's actually from North Carolina.
Most NASCAR drivers are.
Yeah. Or maybe he was from North Carolina. I forgot specifically, but there was an event in Concord, North Carolina. His name is Travis Kittleston. And he actually put a photo on his hood of the car.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. And he even said, I read it in this article. Oh, what is it? I have it in the sources, but he said, I hope this helps in the fast and safe return of Asia to her family. I feel very strongly toward this cause and I'm committed to this cause and would like to represent a missing child from every city in the state that I race in. So literally anyone that they could talk to get help to spread the word, it was happening. So they were everywhere trying to get the word out about Asia. So we're here a year and a half later, right? And it's around August 2001 and they find something. A construction worker, a bunch of workers are clearing land off around 26 to 30 miles from where Asia was last seen on Highway 18.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, and they come across a black trash plastic bag buried in the ground.
A black plastic trash bag?
Jeez, yeah, what did I say?
You said a black trash...
A trash bag.
A black trash plastic bag.
Black trash bag.
Either way, a black trash bag.
A black trash bag. Yes, a garbage bag. I'm going to just say a garbage bag. I'm just saying a garbage bag. Was buried in the ground. So they find this garbage bag buried in the ground, and it's actually wrapped twice. So it's wrapped two trash bags. And inside, they find a book bag.
Okay.
Now, interesting, this obviously looks intentionally hidden. Why would you dig? And also, mind you, construction workers are now clearing this area because they're going to start building on it. So this area is already really roughed up. Like it's overgrown. It's just land. Yeah. It's just whatever. And then they end up finding a buried, double bagged black trash bag.
Yes, with a book bag inside,
right? Wrapped twicely. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the book bag is actually confirmed to be Asia's.
Okay.
But when they look inside, the items don't belong to her. There are two items that they end up reporting. And this, they report that in the book bag, there's a New Kids on the Block t-shirt and a Dr. Seuss book, the McElligott's Pool.
Okay.
Neither of them are linked to Asia and her family.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think many 9-year-olds were listening to New Kids on the Block at
that age. Well, that's a good point. So. Yeah, that's a good point. And also, what is it? The fact that the book was also not hers, but it was taken out of the elementary school that she went to. So it was from the elementary school that she went to, but it's not
strange.
Hers.
Strange.
Very strange. Nothing more comes out of this. We're not really sure who checks out the book. We're not really sure because they don't have a lot of public information about it out there. The police and the investigators and everything have been super tight-lipped with this case.
I mean, it makes sense. You don't want to obviously
and especially right now they're still but when I tell you it's so tight-lipped, you'll see exactly what I mean. But I feel like it's a little you'll see what I mean how tight-lipped they are. Okay, so this is in 2001 when they discover the book bag. More than a decade later, in 2016, investigators release a detail they had kept quiet for years that was tied to that night. I don't know why a lot of people don't understand why they kept it quiet, but whatever. A witness had reported something back in 2000, but it was never made public until now. Around the same time that Asia was seen walking along Highway 18, they saw a young girl matching her description being like pulled into a vehicle.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So the vehicle is described as a dark green car. It's a 1970s model, similar to a Lincoln Mark V or a Ford Thunderbird. So these are the two cars that they are, based off of the description, they're thinking it's this. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And this is the first time in the public hearing. So that was like, wasn't a new detail to them because they knew that. It was reported in 2000. So I don't know. Nobody really understands why it took them 16 years to announce it. And especially knowing that it could have maybe helped in some case, but who knows? I don't really know like the behind the scenes there. That is just a big, big factor in the case that so many people talk about, is that like 16 years and you just release this tip, like why now?
Yeah, that's really odd.
Right, why now? That's interesting. The minute they release this to the public, it's game time, okay? The investigators are asking for help on this new lead, and there's no confirmed matches that come in. And so by now, too, the FBI is also starting to work with the state and the county investigators. Okay. So, like, this is becoming more than...
A much bigger investigation.
Retired Detective Tim Adam actually comes out of retirement just to solely focus on this case, doubling down. And from what I was reading, too, they didn't... They actually never put this case...
They never marked it as like a
cold case. No, okay. Because one of the interviews that I saw, the detective was talking about how it's not a cold case because we still have leads. So usually a cold case is when they've exhausted all their leads.
Wow.
And they just can't go any... Yeah, and so they haven't exhausted all their leads.
I mean, that's insane if you think about it.
Right?
Just from what I feel like we've seen and what we've covered... Most of the time, once a case hits around year two,
yeah, sometimes you see that often. You see that often.
You'll see it just the police departments go, well, we can't just keep putting resources towards.
Yeah,
this.
Like there's nothing else.
Yeah,
we can do with the case. Like so it comes to a stop. That's why it's cold. Yeah,
say 16 years,
and they still don't
from the time that it happened.
They still do. They didn't put it. Yeah. Like those 16 years later, they still didn't put a cold case. So it was still an open case. They were still
frequently checking
the leads, frequently figuring more stuff out. Like they were actively still working on the case. So in 2017, a specialized FBI team returns to Shelby and they re-interview people, they revisit locations, and they rebuild the timeline of that morning. No new physical evidence is confirmed, at least publicly, okay, because they're very tight-lipped.
Yeah, yeah.
But from what we're seeing, they may have found something, but don't release it to the public.
Okay.
So in 2018, investigators released the photos of what was found inside Asia's backpack. So they didn't release it when they found the backpack. They released it in 2018.
Wow.
Yes. So they show it to the kid. They show it to the public. The New Kids on the Block T-shirt and the Dr. Seuss book. Right. Don't belong to them. They confirmed it. So it reopens the public's interest and suggests that now we need to have a lot more involvement. Like, hey, let's, you know, this is a lead. Yeah. You know, maybe she's not missing. I also wonder if maybe they didn't release certain things. I don't know. Again, I'm still like stuck on that.
It's crazy too to me because now you're talking, okay, now we're in 2018.
Right.
So she would have, if she was 9 when she went missing, it was 2000?
2000, yeah.
Okay, so you're talking now 2018. So you're talking she could, at this point, she probably would be 27 years old.
Yeah, right. I know.
All right, let's go.
I know, okay. You know, the items don't belong to Asia and her family confirms it wasn't her. It reopens everybody's like interest that maybe she's not missing then. Maybe this is tied to another person because somebody had to put that in her bag. You know, like it made no sense. No arrests are confirmed. There's no suspect publicly named, no clear explanation for the items. And then years of silence again. Mm-hmm. So this was in 2018.
Okay.
2024.
Damn, 2 years ago?
2 years ago. 2024, things changed. In September of 2024, investigators executed multiple search warrants in Cleveland County, North Carolina. Now, by this point, 24 years since she's been missing. That's
insane.
I can't even imagine her family. I can't even imagine, like, I just, is terrible. I can't even imagine it. What she's going through either. Like, oh, that's just terrible.
I mean, again, at this point, if, and I'm only saying if, because unfortunately with most of these situations, we know how usually they end.
Right, yeah, there is a,
if she's still alive, she's 33 at this point now.
Right.
2024. 33 years old.
Yeah, that's so terrible.
And the last time her parents saw her, she was 9.
Yeah. And it's so sad too, because when I was watching the interviews, her mom had made a bunch of comments like, you know, every day I just pray that God will want to unburden themselves. Like they'll unburden themselves with this burden. Just tell us where she, like what happens to her,
where she
is and all that. And she said, honestly, it broke my heart. Like I literally was tearing up, but she had said that she didn't really care. Like if Asia came through the door right now, she knows that she had missed so much of her life, but she doesn't even care. She just wants her back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
But I mean, think about, and that's the shittiest part. You think about all these different parents, Lauren Spears' parents, and all these missing people.
Yeah, and children too, that I'm like, what?
Children How? All the way up to adults.
And they disappear.
Yes.
And like you never hear from them again. And it's so sad.
I know.
It's so also so freaky. Like, how do you just disappear in thin air? Out of thin air.
I know we haven't covered it. I'm sure you're probably going to cover it. Think about the girl. I want to say it might have been actually in Indiana. There was the one girl that got literally kidnapped at a young, young age and then was raised as this guy's daughter. And then years later,
is this a cult case?
A cult case?
Okay.
C-U-L-T?
Yeah.
No. This guy literally was only like a town over and was raising this girl and...
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So... What's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Dude, her whole life she thought that she was his kid. And
that's crazy. There's a lot of cases like that.
No joke, she was an adult. When she finally found out that she had been kidnapped. And her parents were literally, only a town over.
Right. Oh, that's terrible. There's so many cases like that. It's sickening. So in September of 2024, investigators executed multiple search warrants in Cleveland County, North Carolina. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't come out of nowhere. The reason why they're doing searches.
Warrants.
Yeah, they have multiple warrants. This is actually a result of new DNA testing on evidence that had been sitting for years. But the problem was it just never caught up. Like, technology didn't catch up yet. But they had kept all the DNA evidence that they had found.
Huh.
From
Smart.
The bow, from
yeah,
everything.
That's good. Yes. That's good.
Yeah, the book bag and everything. And remember Asia's backpack?
Yeah.
Okay, well, from that backpack, they were able to recover some DNA at the time, and they had saved it. The DNA that they had on there were two hair strands.
Oh, shit.
Two hair strands.
Yo, I just want to pause for a second. Is it insane to anyone
no, literally,
else?
Literally, the DNA
stuff. The level of detail and everything. Because I don't know if anyone else learned this. When you pull a hair follicle out, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the bottom end of it.
Yeah, it looks like a little bulb.
There's a little bulb.
Yeah.
That is your actual DNA.
Isn't that crazy?
Like the little, I think it's called a helix or coilix. Or
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it looks like a tulip.
The actual DNA. The actual DNA. That's what is
in there.
Oh,
yeah, like the ladder.
When you look at the actual microscope.
That's crazy.
Like,
I know.
Super big and detailed.
I know. And they found two on her backpack.
Yeah. But you're literally saying, like, in other words, you have somebody looking over this whole thing.
Yeah.
And they find two little strands of hair.
Right.
That's insane.
I know. And they also had, what is it, because of genealogical data now.
Okay.
Because there's, you know, that's the new another form that's been also, they're starting to implement that in so many cases. That's why we're finding out a lot of
Golden
these.
State Killer.
Yeah, exactly. And so because of all the nuances in the technology, they actually reanalyzed the evidence in 2024. Mm-hmm. And they announced that this time they got a direct match to two people.
Get the fuck
two
out.
Two fucking people. The DNA is linked to one, Anna Lee Dedman Ramirez, and two, a man named Russell Underhill.
Okay.
Now, before I tell you who these guys are, I just want to note that they have no type of relationship with Asia and her family.
Okay.
There is no connection here whatsoever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dedman family is Connie and Roy Dedman. That's mom and dad.
Okay.
And then they have three daughters. Anna Lee Dedman Ramirez, who's mm-hmm. 13 at the time. 13 at the time when Asia disappears.
In 2000?
Yes, okay. In 2000. And they also have two other daughters, Sarah and Lizzie, who at the time of Asia's disappearance were like 15 and 16.
Okay.
Now, if you think about it, they're well off in their 30s because we're in 2026.
Well, yeah.
So they're adults. So the Dedman family actually owns multiple properties, one of them being a nursing home in Vail, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's where Russell Underhill comes into the picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was 50 at the time when Asia disappeared. So he was a, and from what I was reading, which is very interesting, he was a patient under the Deadman's care because they owned a nursing home, but he didn't live in the nursing home. He lived somewhere else. So I don't know if maybe they were, what is it?
Like the at-home care or something?
Yeah, because Connie would actually care for him in the home that he had lived. Connie, the mom, would care for him specifically in the home that he lived. And for some reason, Roy Deadman, which is dad, Mr. Deadman, is his emergency contact.
That's really strange.
Yes, it's odd. It's a weird, like, it's a weird connection. It's really a weird connection. And then also knowing that the other hand belongs to a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah,
it's
this is a little interesting.
Yes, but that's how they end up.
But the book, I'm sorry. Right. I don't know if anyone else caught up. I'm still going, okay, now, then where did the book come from?
I know. My main question was just like, oh, then check out who checked out the book. Right? Mm-hmm. Or like you can kind of narrow it down. But they haven't released anything. They never released anything on that. So, clearly as the years have gone on, we're 26 years in, and we've been finding out information about the case sparingly throughout the years. There could be a lot more because then they end up talking about a green car now.
Yeah.
And you'll see what I'm talking about. So that's exactly how they bridge the connection from this unknown DNA to now a specific family.
Okay.
And based on that, law enforcement ends up searching multiple properties that are connected to the Deadman family. They've got homes and land and buildings tied to them. So they actually ended up confiscating computers, laptops, cell phones, records, literally everything, okay? And another thing too that I saw was that, and I'll probably just mention it here, but that their main residence was only just a few miles away from where Asia was also last seen. So that's interesting.
Really?
That's, yes.
Okay.
It doesn't help.
No,
it doesn't help.
It looks really odd.
And especially that there's no connection between Asia. So why is your hair on?
Yeah.
That, on her book. And
just,
why is your
weird.
Random shit
it's
in
really
this book?
Weird.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Why? I don't know. Okay. Keep going. Keep going.
Yes,
keep
yes,
going.
Yes. So now during one of these searches, they also tow a vehicle. And oddly enough,
it
looks
green.
Similar to the eyewitness tip that they released in 2016, but the car they towed from one of their properties wasn't a green 1970s like Lincoln Mark 5 or a Thunderbird. It was a green 1964 AMC Rambler.
Oh.
So that's the car. It looks similar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what everybody says. It looks very
also,
similar.
I guess this is interesting to me. You're talking 2024. This is all taking place. You guys still have
this car?
A car this old?
And also,
that to me also is now another...
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know people that keep old cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm sorry. This car doesn't look that special.
I see what you're saying. Like, why keep it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
mean, some people keep unique cars, like 57 Bel Air or certain cars like that.
I see what you're
saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
What's so special about this that you would want to keep it?
That's a good, yeah.
It's an old four-door car, and it looks ran down.
Yeah.
I mean.
If you go on the next slide, I put both of the cars that they suspected it would be next to it. So it looks similar.
It does. It does.
That's the thing. It's not exactly it, but it looks very, very similar. And then with the DNA matches and it being targeted to you guys, and you guys also so happen to live nearby, it's kind of weird and whatever, things like that. It's not looking good. Clearly, it's not the exact car from the earlier tip. It's similar, but it's enough to raise the question of what the hell is the connection here? Yes. And so for the very first time, investigators announce it publicly. They announce that they believe Asia was killed and her body was hidden.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Now, remember, they know a lot more than we know.
Yeah, but they've also not been saying much. So the fact that they're finally coming out
and saying, like, yeah, we believe.
Tells you that they're very confident.
Like, this is a homicide. Yes. And based off of the age of Anna Lee at the time, because she was only 13, investigators believe that if the daughter, or maybe the daughters were involved, who knows, they would have needed adult assistance.
Clearly.
So since Anna Lee and Russell are connected to Roy and Connie, now Roy and Connie have become suspects in the case.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So unfortunately, the lead kind of ends with Russell because we don't know much from him because he actually passes away 4 years later in his home. So in 2004, he passes away.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was thinking we were still in 2024 and then 4 years after that. And I was like,
hold on,
did we just go into the future?
No. So like the lead with Russell will end because
he died in 2004. 20 years prior to this.
Yes, okay. 20 years prior to this, yes. So he died in 2004 in his home and he was 54 at the time. And one of the other things that I thought was odd was that a lot of people who learn about Asia's case and her story, they've talked about the nursing home specifically, because they say that the nursing home is in Vail, North Carolina, and they would frequently travel on the highway 18 to Morganton, North Carolina to go home to the Deadman's residence. So it's like that is a path that they would have traveled often too. So
literally
that is
right
also right.
There.
It's not like they never have ever gone that, you know, like, well, I don't ever really drive there. So they would actually have to drive there to go from the nursing home to home.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm looking at this and either way they have to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's this map that somebody made online that made it super helpful to understand, because you can see like where the property is being searched in September 24, Asia's house, the first alleged sighting, you know? And so the Deadman's residence is also only like 4 miles away from Asia's house.
Okay.
So they're also relatively close altogether.
Everything's very clustered together.
Yes. And her backpack was found 6 miles south from Morganton, which is where the Deadman's lived.
It's just how it presents.
So the police and the investigators haven't released any more information about the case, and they had 8 search warrants tied to Roy and Connie, and they collected a lot of items from what I could find. But so far, where things stand as of now, there's been no arrests, there's no charges filed. The Deadman family denies any type of involvement, of course, and they, from what I saw, they also took polygraph tests. And they passed them. But again, that doesn't really
you
hold a
easily,
lot of weight. Yeah.
I was going to say, anyone that's actually a really good liar and able to keep.
Right.
All
we've talked
your,
this about yeah. in another
we've,
episode.
We,
but yeah.
We always. And obviously, not everyone's heard every episode.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to every single episode.
that's a plug.
You can pass a polygraph
test. Yeah, you could.
And I mean, there's a lot of people that learn how to pass. I think most psychologists are able to actually probably easily pass because they understand the psychology.
Right,
that
it's so true. That's why it's like,
so
a lot of people are like, okay.
But to me, this is just my personal feeling. If we have nothing from this point yet, after this, like no updates, I'm just saying it feels very strong that this family is responsible for at least something.
Yeah.
Because would your hair, your DNA, and somebody your family cared for DNA be on this little girl that you've never met a single day in your life? You guys had no connection to her school.
Yeah.
None of this. There's no way that you guys could have just randomly crossed paths.
Yeah. Even like,
and
then
all of a sudden, you just so happen to have a green car.
You also, that so happens to match a similar
a very
body
similar
style,
body
that
style description,
color.
Everything of what was seen as a car watching
her being pulled in. Yeah.
So it just, it's odd to
so
me that all
strange.
This kind of, you know.
Yeah. It's
you know?
So strange. Aquila, Asia's mom, actually commented and she said, "None of those people ever been to my house, so how could your DNA get on her stuff? Give us closure, because somebody knows something. This we know. All we can do is ask and beg and plead. That's all I can do." And she says that when she drives by the Deadman's house, she actually whispers a prayer for strength until they can get answers. Because it kind of ends there with them. We don't know
that
anymore.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, we don't know what ended up really happening to her. Nothing. They're still actively pursuing it. From what I'm seeing, there's been no arrests.
Yeah.
But they do call, they are actively working to find out what ended up happening to her. They also call her Shelby's sweetheart. And I'm like, yeah, because she is the cutest little girl ever. But her family has spoken out and said that they believe that someone knows something. Her mom,
1,000%.
Her mom and dad were like, there's no way a 9-year-old just disappears. Disappears.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no way. I'll be honest. It's still, and I think that's the saddest part, is it? It's twofold on this, because on one hand, you don't understand why she took off.
Yeah.
And clearly there wasn't, a struggle on anything else and whatnot. And she locked the doors.
Yeah, she locked the doors. And
then two, so you have those questions, right?
Right.
As a
parent,
you're going to be wondering, well, why did you guys, why did she leave?
What? Yeah.
Again, well, that's everyone's especially question, yeah. Knowing that she was scared of the dark and all.
It just doesn't make sense. You're not, yeah.
And then you have the other side. Where was your connection with these people?
Right.
And why won't you guys just say something? Obviously, you don't want to go to jail. But at this point, I mean, hell, even just pin it on all somebody else. The guy's, other guy's dead, but it's like, just say something.
But no, but the thing is that's the thing that sucks is like, even if let's say he clearly had something to do with Zom, because why would his DNA be on there? He's long gone. You guys clearly have an answer. He couldn't have done this by himself.
No.
Also, why is your daughter's hair on here?
That's the
you're
other
connected.
Side.
What is this? That's the strange. And I also, my other question is like, I wonder if that New Kids on the Block t-shirt is theirs.
I could
but
see
also
that,
why
yeah.
would I also like who's the book from?
Well, and that's the thing. If it is from her school, but it wasn't checked out, you could have also, you never know. It's possible that with the book, maybe she, I don't know if your library in elementary school had this, but we couldn't check out X amount of books. So who knows? It's possible that she could have also snuck the book in her bag because she wanted it or something.
But it's just like, even, but
know,
the mom says that that's not something that...
It's not
just,
something
it
she would do. I know. It's just, but...
No, and it's not her book though.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But the fact is that these search warrants have been able to open up pretty much the possibility that she may have died years ago. And her parents did say that they can accept that to be the truth if there is evidence, but they want closure one way or another, which mm-hmm. makes rightfully so, because I would want to. I mean, it's also been 26 years now. 26 years, no joke. That's a long time. She would be 36 now.
Yeah.
No.
37.
No.
Hold on. 26. No, she'd be 35.
35. She'd be 35 right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, it is so, so sad. It is so sad. But they do have a $100,000 reward for anyone that has any connections or tips on what they think could have happened to Asia. And I'm just going to read you guys the tip line if you guys find yourself or any of our North Carolina listeners. It is 704-484-4822. 704-484-4822. So if anybody sees anything...
Yeah.
You know, see something, say something. But that's today's sinister story, my friends.
That sucks.
I know. I really hope that they can. I hope a lot more comes out soon.
I feel like it's clear as day where this is pointing to.
Yeah.
Who this is pointing to. And.
Well, they're suspects now.
Yeah. I mean, with how slow parts of this case have gone, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if. In the near future, we get an update.
Right.
And
There are theories that people think that for over the years before all these things have came out, they're like, oh, it was probably a hit and run, right? Like maybe it was an accident. So all this stuff. But nothing would have ever, we had the tip was there all along until we found that out in 2016. So mm-hmm. it's crazy too, because when I was researching through, you know, what people have said over the years and like theorizing and stuff like that. Originally, you know, they knew about the book bag, but they're like, it probably doesn't have any DNA on it. And then we find out that, yeah, it did have DNA on it in 2024. We find that out because they didn't say anything back then, because now the DNA technology has caught up. But it's like so many factors. It's just so, it's so heartbreaking. I really hope that they can get the closure they need, and that the family can at least, the Dedman family, say something.
Yeah.
That's weird.
No, for real.
It's strange. It's very weird and strange. It's hard not to think that you guys are not involved, because you guys definitely
1,000%
are involved. Yeah. And also they wouldn't be seizing and searching your house if they didn't have good probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know. We're not robots.
It's true. And if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you may think it is, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for more photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay spooky and stay safe, friends. Bye.
See ya. What did I do?
You stay doing extra shit. I don't know why.
Whatever. Deuces.
Bye.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.